Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
Adam's tired already. Let's make fun of him right from the beginning.
Sleep is good, boy.
We should just make a loud scream to wake him up.
I want the audience to see you. That's all. Pop a Red Bull and let's get going. Binge watchers out there, we know you're up late because you gotta watch the next season of Picard or catch up on season 3 of American Gods over there on Stars with Peter Stormare playing one of the Nordic gods. There's a bunch of people on that show, but whatever. Anyway, last time on Binge Watchers, we took a trip back in the day to discover a hidden gem among Burt Reynolds movies called Hooper.
Hoop.
And then we played this ridiculous round of What Should I Watch? And it got pretty brutal, but I feel like it was entertaining. So if you get a chance, go back and listen to that pretty good episode. That's how we started the year out for this 2021. It's called Back in the Day Hooper. It's on the website. Put a link in here. Let's do a last time link. We'll pop a link in the notes on this on tonight's episode. They can easily play that one next after they listen to this. But tonight we're taking another trip back in the day. But tonight's movie came out in 88. What is it, like 30 years ago or so or whatever? They released a movie called Alien Nation, which is a sci-fi buddy cop movie that touched on dealing with racism and police brutality in America. At the time, a timely message. We're not going to go into the background and the red tape of the current situation that we're all living in, but let's leave it at that. Touched on those two subjects. And it partners a veteran homicide detective played by James Caan with the first newcomer alien detective on the force played by Manny Patinkin. And they're trying to solve the murder of the human's previous partner who gets killed at the beginning of the film. And then a sudden series of newcomer killings. And this is like a few years after the aliens had crash landed in the Los Angeles Basin area. And Terrence Stamp plays the primary suspect. He's also a newcomer alien in the movie. Now, for the time, the movie did pretty well. Mandy said he based his character on George Jetson, and supposedly in the script, that was the fake name given to his alien. Because everybody that comes in, like Ellis Island, they're given all these names. Like when people immigrated from Europe and they got all these Americanized names. Like in this movie, they gave all the aliens like named after like cities or whatever. But
Kipling.
Yeah, like Roger Kipling. Yeah, exactly. Richard Kipling or whatever for another guy. But like halfway through the movie, they stopped calling him George Jetson and called him Sam Francisco. So they had to dub the lines out because they were saying George Jetson through like the whole movie. Kind of funny. But then James Caan supposedly had a pretty good attitude. I heard the feedback again. Hopefully it's not disrupting anybody at home who's listening. But James Caan was making jokes on the set to keep things light, but then later got angry. Like when a fan asked him at like a convention or some interview like years later about his experience on this movie. But
so don't ask James Caan about Alien Nation when you see him. Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I guess he's not a very fan friendly type of actor. Like he doesn't like
he never looked that way though. I mean you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
I think.
But I don't know. I don't wanna like derail the conversation too much to talk about James Caan attitude because like if you watch the documentary about Elf, he also had a bad attitude on that movie. And it's like, dude, come on. Like, you're making all these classic films. What's wrong with you? You're making
them. Like, get over it, man. Yeah.
But, well, on Elf, like, he wanted everyone to think that he was Jimmy the Dream.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that he had a good attitude, right? Like, that was the public relations campaign that he was on at the time. But getting back to Alien Nation, the movie did spawn a short-lived, But it was a really good show. They had a series, Alienation. It was like an episodic, dramatic, like police serial. It was a little bit like.
It was pretty good. I started watching it this week after watching this. It's actually really good. Yeah,
it is really good.
And it's on YouTube. If you type in Alienation, it's actually.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of the episodes.
The first thing that comes up.
It's one season, so there's only like 22. But all the plots are pretty good, and then like after that. They made five made-for-TV movie sequels, and the sequels on made-for-TV, whatever, those movie-of-the-week things they used to make when when broadcast was competing with like early cable, right? Mm-hmm. They made these five made-for-TV movies, and they go really deep into like the alien newcomer mythology. So if you're like, if you're digging the movie and you want to go deeper, you got to get into watching the show and then watching those you know, five made-for-TV movies that came out. I saw the show first before I ever saw the movie. I didn't even actually know the movie existed till like,
wow,
till like our first year in college. I think I didn't know. I watched the series over and over and over, watched the TV movies, like really thought it was really a cool idea. Then found out the TV show was based on a movie, right? And I was like, what? And then I expected to see like the TV actors, and then of course not, right? Because the movie had different actors, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, A-listers at the time or whatever.
They had the guy with the mullet on the TV show.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So we're gonna dive into this movie. We gave you a little bit of this Alien Nation history and what came after it, but we're gonna zip over to a segment called Home Video Headlines, and we're gonna find out what's going on in the world of TV and movies. I said I didn't have much in my notes, but I guess I kind of do. I mean, I got a few things here I wanna talk about and let people know about. Idris Elba has a movie coming out called Concrete Cowboy, which is based on the real life horsemen from Philadelphia that have like a Southwest Philadelphia riding club. They're like basically urban cowboys. Like literally they ride horses around the city. And so this movie's coming out based on a story that takes place in that kind of environment. And then supposedly some of the story is taken from this writer's novel called Ghetto Cowboy. What's really funny is the movie's called Concrete Cowboy, but it's not a remake. So, of Concrete Cowboy, which came out in 1979 with Tom Selleck. So, like, wouldn't want to confuse the titles. It's literally the same
heard
title.
That movie. That's hilarious.
Really? And then if you look at the plot of the 79 one, check this out. It literally sounds like the Cowboy Way, because the plot of Concrete Cowboy from 1979 is, you know, Tom Selleck and his buddy have to go into Nashville to look for the buddy's missing sister. I'm like, whoa, dude, that deceptively sounds a lot like the Cowboy Way. But then as it turns out, obviously... Concrete Cowboy 79 comes out way before Cowboy Way, because Cowboy Way comes out with Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland like in 90s or something.
It was like 95 or 96.
And the story of that is their ranch hand's daughter disappears in the city and they got to go to the city to look for her. And I'm like, wow, dude. Like the story of the original Concrete Cowboy and the Cowboy Way are just too similar, you know, like one of those classic Hollywood stories of people stealing from each other. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm definitely like, oh yeah, so somebody must have watched the Tom Selleck movie and was like, oh, we can make a movie like this.
I think we've given way more
log line and we all made a separate they'd all be different.
I think we've given way more discussion about the Cowboy Way and Concrete Cowboy than probably anybody ever so far.
But has anyone done a podcast on the Cowboy Way? Yeah, there you go. Cowboy Way podcast.
And to keep it country, the co-writer of one of my favorite country songs of all time, Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys, like it's sung by Willie Nelson, but the co-writer Ed Bruce, he died, unfortunately, but it's a great Spotify playlist or Apple, Amazon Music, whatever you got going on your phone.
I saw that.
These days, and take a look at that. Tanya Roberts apparently did really die. Like they misreported that she died, but apparently she really had an infection and died.
Now, dude, I heard about that. Yeah. Oh, God, that sounds painful. Did anyone want to say how?
She died the same way. They just reported it too early.
Oh, no, but it was like an infection.
Yeah, that whole thing was like a big cluster. Misinformation and people reporting stuff too early. And like, wow, that...
I got bad.
But like we found out she died twice this week. Like that's kind of messed up.
I know, right? It sucks.
Although Quince, not in honor of her, but I happen to have watched The Beastmaster today. So coincidentally, I guess I did kind of honor her.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, so, you know, RIP.
Wow.
Did we lose John?
I was just going to ask, did we lose John? Now we did just lose John.
I guess we did.
All right, so I'm going to take over. Where are we on the notes? Where do we go?
I have no idea.
Oh, moving here. Actually, I don't know if he's recording still, so I'll just keep going for...
That's kind of where I'm not sure.
I am too. Did you guys hear that... I hope, John, don't get mad at me. I'm just going to do this for, you know, so you don't have to edit.
Yeah,
did you guys hear? Oh, there you go. He's there. He's there.
There's John.
Hear that HBO...
My internet crashed because she's upstairs watching Fresh Off the Boat. You know,
oh.
That's what's going on.
Okay.
I was trying to drop Tanya Roberts extra credits because she's also in Beastmaster. She's making a W show. I don't know what you guys heard. So then also, she was a season 5 replacement on the original Charlie's Angels show. I don't know where we're at. I don't know where the last thing you guys heard from me was.
Well, you got cut off, and I mentioned I watched Beastmaster today.
Yeah.
Today you watched it?
Honoring Tanya Roberts, yeah.
Nice. It's not even showing my avatar now.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take over my entire internet in the middle of the night when we do the show. It was like the second time. What were they watching last time? We were watching something else.
And they're I can just do it on low bandwidth or something. Yeah.
let's see. Where are we? Oh, Dave had a good update, actually, that I wanted him to share that he told me. And, like, it really surprised me, but I thought it was such a good idea.
Uh-oh. So, yeah. So Quibi is no more, except Roku came in and bought all their content. So if you got addicted to a Quibi show, like I watched half of the season they dropped of Reno 911. I'll get to watch the second half whenever they drop it. So, you know, if you have a Roku in the future, you'll be able to watch all those Quibi shows that nobody watched in the first place.
So it'll be on the Roku channel.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Okay. Yeah. And they sometimes have some good stuff on there, actually. It's not bad.
They had a few, like I watched the Reno 911. I watched, you know, there was a show on there that was a horror show from Sam Raimi that I watched maybe an episode or two.
There
wasn't
neat.
A whole lot that grabbed me.
Well, the Reno 911 was the deal maker, right? That's the
reason supposed to,
the new season of Reno 911. And vertical television is all right if you're just watching like a YouTube video or like a Facebook update. But if you're watching a show, it's kind of not.
Watch it. Yeah.
And they shot Reno 911 in the vertical, and you're like, oh, all right.
Well, actually, they did both. Actually, Reno 911, they were kind of brilliant in that they would have, not all the time, but they'd have certain sequences where you could watch it landscape style or normal. But if you wanted to see, like, body cam footage of them running while they were chasing down somebody, you could flip it up, and it'd be their body cam footage. So, like, they kind of utilized it really interestingly.
Oh, that's good.
But cool. I don't know if that's going to translate to the TV, obviously.
I don't think so. Unless they like cut to that to you style. That
you needed to do that. Like,
but I don't know how many shows would like utilize that technology where like if you flipped it one way, you'd see something different than if you had it landscape.
Did it show you on the screen with blinking logos?
What?
Did it
show you blinking logos
to
show you how to change your orientation?
Yeah.
I can't remember how they indicated, but they had some way of like indicating if you flip it this way or that way, you'll see something different.
Hard to say. I can't remember. That's how beloved this app was. People really remembered how it worked.
Yeah, $7-$8 bucks a month to watch something on your phone and not on your TV. Yeah, that was worth it.
Yeah.
Now, could you do other stuff on your phone while you were doing it? It's fascinating that we're more fascinated about it by it now than when it actually existed.
It's funny too because other streamers have this multi-platform strategy to back up the streaming numbers, right? Like they like releasing like the new Star Trek show, whatever Discovery was released at Netflix, you know, in Britain and other countries, like immediately, and then like slowly released on regular CBS. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they didn't just bank on you're going to watch it on your phone and that's the only way we're going to get your money because at that time.
So why don't you just get a VPN and just go to Europe and then you're free, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But I just mean for like Quibi, they shouldn't have just thought like phones only, you know, maybe a channel or like hooked it with the other streamers, who knows. But the whole idea of like Roku getting all their content.
Pretty wild. Yeah.
It's not just wild. It makes you think, like, are they about to, like, drop their own original content? Like, maybe they'll see how well the library does, and then are they going to start making their own stuff, which would be really cool. I mean, they got, like, are they up to 55 million subscribers now or something ridiculous? Like, they were at one point had, like, 32 million. But I think their new report is probably more than that.
Do you mean by subscribers, like, you have a device?
Yeah, like, you're watching apps on Roku. You're watching apps on Roku.
I have 4 of them in my house. So, yeah.
Yeah, everything I have is connected to a Roku, whether it's the box or through the TV itself.
Yeah, it's I'm because they're like only $25. It's like for the little HD one, it's perfect.
Yeah. So does anybody else have any more updates, or do we want to jump right into first impressions of Alienation?
The only thing I was about to say was I saw an article, and I don't know if you guys knew this, that you know how HBO had Game of Thrones? I heard they lost half their listeners when the show went off the air. Did you guys hear that?
You mean viewers?
Not listeners. I mean subscribers.
See, sorry. You got podcasts on the brain. That's hilarious.
I do. I'm doing a podcast. I'm talking about listeners. Sorry.
I'm glad somebody clarified that because scrambled my brain.
Yeah, I wanted to keep you guys in suspense. Yeah.
I was like, whoa, people stopped listening to HBO?
Yeah. You guys didn't listen? Yeah.
They do. Unless actually. Good sound HBO, design on HBO that paid some money to have those after show things produced. Like after the McDonald's documentary, they had like after the show. You know,
yeah.
Listen to how the mob really infiltrated the McDonald's, monopoly scandal or whatever it was. Yeah,
I don't even know about that. Okay,
but they're gonna drop another Game of Thrones, Nick. They're doing like Fire and Blood or something. They're doing like 200 years,
like a prequel.
Yeah, prequel. Yeah.
Oh, when I bring this news to you guys, I never actually watched Game of Thrones, so I just thought it was interesting. Isn't that crazy?
Right, you were just listening.
I was just listening to the podcast. I thought you were talking
about the Thundercats. Well, you mean there's a visual, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
What?
Well, because like
Nick gave up on HBO after True Blood.
I did. I didn't watch that.
You thought Game of Thrones was an audiobook.
All right. We gotta get to the main feature here. We're meandering.
Sorry, guys.
So, first impressions of Alienation. We'll start with you, Nick.
I loved it. I saw it when I was a kid, and I loved it. I love the cop drama between. You know, it's like the buddy cop thing going on, and I love that aliens could get drunk off expired milk. that was really funny. I just was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, yeah. And I was wondering, did the price of milk go up because so many aliens were buying inspired milk? I wanted to know if that happened, you know. But I really did enjoy this movie. I always have liked it.
Little kids probably tried to spoil Nick for the first time. If the internet had existed,
I did the first time I watched it.
Milk challenge, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it would have been amazing. Spoiled milk challenge. Oh god.
Thank God the internet didn't exist then.
Yeah.
At least. Oh man.
I know, Dave, you're so gullible, you would have done the spoiled milk challenge. Have your taste buds returned since you've done the Tide Pod challenge?
Yeah, man, no.
I'm just ribbing him. RIBBING.
Although they look like there's some Tide in this movie.
Jeez.
There was a red Tide, yeah. There was.
To you, Dave, your first impression.
I kind of went in with no expectations. I really like this movie. I like this movie a lot. It's kind of it made something new out of a kind of a tired genre by that point. I mean, we'd already seen a million buddy cop movies, Lethal Weapon, 48 Hours, and those are all good movies. But I don't know. This brought something new to it, and now this movie has been copied. So, I like the dynamic.
Right. We almost did a double feature.
Will Smith,
too much episode. It would have been too long. It would have taken like 2 hours to go over it. Like, you know, they took it fantasy style instead of sci-fi style, but basic same thing. Like, instead of having aliens, they had orcs, you know? So
yeah, but I like the chemistry between the two. Like, I like, you know, it's the story itself was nothing new, but like just the chemistry and the concept of the world they built was enough to make it worthwhile and different.
Nice. What about you, Adam? What's your first impression of Alienation?
Well, I really like the Fresh Prince, and I thought he did a good job here.
That was good, actually.
Wrong movie.
I think did you watch the wrong movie this week? You son of a gun.
No, I remember watching the TV show because they made such a big deal about it, and this, like John, went a long time before I realized, hey, wait, that was based on a movie? So it's kind of a video, kind of like In the Heat of the Night. Like, I didn't realize that multi-season show was like originally started off by a movie. So, but I really enjoyed it. It was good. James Caan, Jimmy the Dream.
It's like closed. See, this closed a gap for me. You guys have all seen the TV show, and I remember always seeing the commercials for the show, like during The Simpsons or Married with Children, and I never watched it. So this was like my first real exposure to Alien Nation.
Yeah, you're right. It was like 1990 or 91 when the show came out. So that was Married with Children and Simpsons were like Fox's big things for sure.
So, I mean, I kind of mentioned it already. Like, it was a discovery for me. Wow, there's an Alien Nation movie I haven't seen. I was really excited to watch it. I was disappointed that they had somebody else playing the George character, because Eric Pierpont, I think is the name of the actor, and I was just spoiled watching him on the show. He's so good at that part, right?
And yeah, Matt he is.
Hankin, he's a classically trained actor. He was Inigo Montoya in Princess Bride, one of my favorite characters of all time, but I don't think he did such a good a job as George, you know, in the movie. You know what I mean? Mm. So... little let down by that, but again, a good discovery because I was consuming Alienation stuff at the time. I was happy there was another movie. We'll be right back after a brief message from one of our affiliates. I want to let you know that is Starz worth subscribing to? Absolutely. They're a premium movie channel that includes access to hit movies as well as to original programming. The original programming is probably the biggest reason to subscribe to Starz, but there are also loads of movies that make it worth subscribing to. We said at the beginning of the episode, American Gods just launched their third season. It has some classic Starz hits in series like Spartacus, Black Sails, Ash vs. Evil Dead, Magic City, and The White Queen, as well as delivering comedy classics this month like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. There's also a deep catalog of Golden Age TV hits such as The Jeffersons, Magnum P.I., Different Strokes, and The A-Team. For professional movie and TV fans like us, it's a no-brainer to have Starz in one of our streamer apps. However, you can answer the question for yourself because we can hook you up with a 7-day free trial, cramming as many laughs into a week of binge watching as long as you go ahead and clear your stay-at-home schedule. Just visit the link or our website for details. It's a paid link because the truth is we are supported by sponsors as well as affiliate links to keep the podcast rolling and to pay for some podcast-related bills. That's the dirty, bloody truth behind everything. Moving on to some more positive things, and also get Starz for free and watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Why not? I actually like Magic City as well.
I heard that was a
very awkward description of why they should get Starz, but fuck it. Like, here we go.
Well, dude, Ash vs. Evil Dead is pretty awesome if anybody had
seen
that.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I've always wanted to watch that. Yeah.
Nick, you haven't watched it yet?
No, and I'm so good.
Trial hooked up.
I know. I haven't had time. I know.
Oh, man.
Darn, I've been doing so many
it's
things.
It's so good, but it's disappointing. It ends on a cliffhanger, and it'll never come back.
Don't you?
Well, I don't think my interpretation is not a cliffhanger. But again, like, we could get distracted and drive the podcast into a discussion about Ash vs. Evil Dead. Like, we'll have to take that offline, Dave. We'll
boom.
Talk about that. let's see. Oh, favorite bits. Okay, so, I mean, Nick kind of spoiled it earlier by talking about spoiled milk, but we'll keep trucking. All right, Nick, your favorite bit. And that might be it, unless you have, I don't know what else you're going to say if that was already it. But
oh, my favorite bit? I mean, that was one, but I don't want to spoil another one of how these aliens are affected by a certain thing we shower with. Not shower with, but, the, I mean, no. Whoa. No. Actually, I I guess by salt water. I love how they're affected by the things that are so easy for us to take affected the aliens so different. And I really appreciate that. Like the little things like milk that we drink or salt water, you know what I mean? Like something so simple for us could like kill something else. Kind of like a common cold. Yeah. Like, or a common cold in War of the Worlds. Like
anatomy was really different. Like they look like us on the outside, except for their spots. They have no hair. They're bald and they have these weird, they have these pattern spots like turtles or something. But their anatomy is all weird. Like their genitals are in their armpits or something. I don't know. Cause like, remember like at one point weird, in the movie, at one point in the movie, he's like, "Hey, what are you doing? That's not how you hurt a newcomer. Try this next time." You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's stuff like that. But, and also what their favorite food to eat, beaver instead of burgers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
And I really appreciate that aspect of this movie. It was like, I can imagine if you're writing a script being like, you know what? Burgers, beaver. Salt water can kill them. Get drunk off milk. I just...
Right. Really cheap, though. Actually, like, good ideas, but they don't cost filmmakers a lot of money to do those.
Not at all. Yeah.
Right?
Just get some expired milk. Good.
Although what kind of killed me is like they learn real fast. He said he learned English in 3 months, and yet he got to the rank of detective but didn't know what a condom is. So like it kind of found it funny like what they did know and what they didn't know. Like
what they didn't teach him. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that to me just reminded me of that movie where what's his name? Defected from Russia.
Robin Williams.
So many cultural differences.
On the Hudson.
Yeah. Because if you think about they're just playing up stereotypes in this movie too. So it'd be the same of like immigrants or whatever, right? You know, like, and at the time, different foods, different cultures, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Dave, favorite bit, the condom joke? Is that it?
That's cool. Actually, I kind of got a giggle in my mind. It felt like this took place in the same world as Breaking Bad once something was revealed. I was like, wait, did Breaking Bad steal from Alien Nation, like how they built their drug operation underground? Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. But that kind of killed me. I just imagined like an alien Walter and Jesse Pinkman like sitting down making the drug for the aliens. Like it just felt very much like
you just gave me an idea to Photoshop tomorrow. That sounds good. Yeah,
I like their tone.
Yeah,
criminal underworld.
Alien bad or
alien bad. Nation? Yeah, alien bad nation or something. I guess. Yeah.
Actually, if that's how they rebooted Alien Nation. Like if they said it's Breaking Bad, but with aliens, wow,
that could work.
It would work.
I already want to watch it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they backlogged it because Disney bought the Fox catalogs, right? So they shelved the remake. Like they were getting ready to do the next series. Yeah. So
that really,
they were about to.
Another reason we complain about reboots and stuff.
The D.
I don't know. We complain about reboots, but watching this, I'd say bring it on.
They moved on to that other show with, is it Alan Tierdyke? Is that his name? He's the guy from Firefly. They made a show about the medical examiner being an alien in a small town in Alaska solving crimes. I wonder if that is like the bones, like the materials. I wonder if that's the materials for what the new Alienation was going to be. But Sci-Fi's like, no, here's our new show.
Well, there was one a few years ago called Almost Human with Carl Urban before The Boys, where it was like him and a robot. That was very much like this kind of dynamic. Mm. I actually like that show, but it only lasted one season.
Do you like Bicentennial Man?
I've never seen that.
I've never seen it either. I heard
John's always talked that one up to me.
It looks so bad.
I've heard it was bad. I don't know, though, for sure.
I heard it was good.
Bad. I haven't heard John's feelings. I think he really likes that one.
That would end up like on our feel-good movie list, actually. That's in that kind of genre.
I can't feel good about how ugly that robot is.
He gets better looking over time. Spoiler alert, he's basically a cyborg by the end. He has living tissue and finds a soul. Yeah.
Oh.
Adam, your favorite bit or scene or something from Alienation, what do you got?
Well, I liked the whole movie, but I thought that the shootout scene in the beginning and that culminates in just a big fight. And I was just really impressed with like how big that felt. And there's all kinds of squibs going off and it seems like a simple scene. I was just really getting a kick out of the fight scene and stuff in the beginning.
All right.
I feel like they spent a lot on that part.
Well, I mean, they wanted to introduce all the alien stuff, and they kind of did it in a way that's almost naturalistic, right? They went to the bad word for aliens in the movie, which is a naughty, dirty word, is called slag. And then so they called that part of L.A. Slag Town, which looks like they shot in, like, the real Koreatown or something. And they put alien symbols all over, like, the signs at like the mini mart and all this crap. And Adam's referring to like a big shootout that takes place. And then like, then you realize, oh, the aliens can't be taken down by like a 22 revolver. You know what I mean? Like they're really jacked up. Right.
So, yeah. They're stronger
and it's dangerous. And then like the accident with the partner and then like, yeah, then it's almost a Lethal Weapon esque moment. And then we get into like the nitty gritty of the story, but you got to commend them for writing James Caan's character, whose character's name is Sykes, which is the same name, you know, obviously the characters in the show are the same names, kind of life or whatever, but he's like obviously prejudiced. He doesn't like aliens, and then an alien kills his partner, but then you got to give him credit for having the bright idea to volunteer to take him on as the partner because he knows the two murder cases are linked, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so like he was correct, using him, yeah.
Two cases are linked, so got to give him credit for that. My favorite thing is like the character building scene that involves the spoiled milk because it allows you to
that's the thing
where I say like hang out, like in movies,
you need that.
The scene that gets cut on the floor is that extra 2 minutes or whatever that lets us hang out with the characters, and then if they get killed, then we go, oh man, that I feel bad because I got that extra 2 minutes to hang out
with that guy.
Yeah, so they're sitting there talking about being two dads. One's estranged from his daughter who's getting married. That's Sykes. He's drinking vodka. And then the alien is upset that his wife's going to be mad that he stayed out too late and he's drinking the spoiled milk or chewing on it, rather. But it's a really good scene where they're chewing it up as characters. So that the spoiled milk character building scene is my favorite of the whole movie because it made it seem real, like that the aliens could be there, you know, hanging out in L.A., working day jobs. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. That whole trying to explain a joke to an alien.
What? Oh, yeah, you're right. Like, he's trying to explain a really, like, a well-known joke over and over again, right? Because he doesn't get the punchline? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It felt real. Like, oh, I was getting frustrated.
Now, I'm expanding our world a little bit because not everybody likes the movies we watch sometimes, but we also discover some hidden gems for them, which I think they then tell us they go back and watch or they wouldn't have seen. Like, I know I'm really selling that movie Wolf of Snow Hollow a lot, but people are like,
I still need to watch that, John. I still need it.
It's so good.
So we've arrived at what should people be watching? Because there's so many choices, but then so many nights where you sit up and you can't, like, I mean, I got Hulu, Stars. I mean, I'm a greedy little fat pig when it comes to these movies, but sometimes I like have nothing to watch. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's why it's so special that we get to share with the audience things that they might want to actually watch in the middle of the night when they can't think of anything to watch. Nick, what did you watch?
All right, I'm going to sell you guys on something. I watched it last night. So we got these poachers killing these like tigers, right? And then the tiger escapes and it kills the poachers. Then we got Megan Fox coming in as a SWAT team, like, as the head of the SWAT team thing that's going in and infiltrating these guys who are like taking underage girls and like using them. And then they go in and kill a bunch of them. And then they're following them. And then we end up back at the poacher place where where the tiger was in the beginning. And then the tiger's out and it's killing Megan Fox's team. And then it's killing the other guys. It was fucking awesome. I love this movie.
I'm really confused.
Is this Jurassic Park?
I don't know what's happening. Like, you watched a movie about killer tigers?
Yeah, it's killer tigers, but it's kind of like Predator 2 where they're going in. I mean, not Predator 2. Predator 1 where they're going.
What's the name of this movie?
The movie's called Rogue. It just came out, and Rogue. I fucking loved it. And the only thing I didn't love about it were the tiger CGI effects.
Oh, but is it a monster movie? Like, did the tiger?
No, it's about a rogue tiger that starts killing a bunch of people that go into this camp, and it's fucking awesome. I was like, yeah, it's really good. And the only thing was the CGI. I was just like, oh no. But besides that, it was actually like, how is this movie where Megan Fox is the star so good? I'm telling you, I want you guys to watch it.
All right, I'm going to be upfront and say you got my vote only because every time I saw the poster for this, I thought she was just a soldier, like in Iraq or something.
Yeah. No.
And it just looked like a generic, like, she's a lady soldier. Like, okay,
I've
seen G.I. Jane.
I think I know what movie you're talking about.
This movie just came out.
It just seems like an army movie. Dave's right. It doesn't seem like
No, it does. Yeah. In the first half an hour is an army movie, but actually the action's good. And you're like, oh, you know what? This is some cool. I mean, the way they shot it, like, the director of photography, it's on point. It's just, and then it becomes like a rogue tiger movie. It's great.
Wow.
So is this like the G.I. Jane meets Army, or God damn it, what was that? Ghost in the Darkness.
Yes.
Don't give me a tagline.
All right, well, no one told me. Okay, so Dave gave a point. What'd you guys give me?
I'm not going to watch this. I'm so confused by what this movie is.
So zero from John. All right. Adam?
I love your enthusiasm, and, yes. and you had me all the way up until I heard bad CGI, and then I thought of gotcha. I Am Legend and the zombies in that movie, and I was like,
and I'm not going to lie, they did
anything with
they
bad
did
CGI.
It way more creative than that, but I can, you know what, I get that, so I get a point. Okay,
I feel like you said
I shouldn't have said the flaw of the movie. Got it.
And then you told me something that's so negative that makes me want to run away in the opposite direction.
That was my bad. I deserve that.
So I feel like everything, yes, that part made it a no.
So is that a half or is that a...
I don't know what it is. I'm going to let you guys interpret.
What do you guys think?
Oh, man.
Like, it means it goes on my no watch list. I guess it's a zero.
Oh, zero. There's no pressure on this round. I'm not putting any pressure on it.
All right. I got one.
Pressure's on me being able to communicate. Honestly,
no, and I said bad CGI. You're right. I shouldn't never.
Yeah, I mean
that
kills it.
I did probably kill
honestly.
It.
If you had not mentioned Megan Fox and just said I watched a good movie about killer tigers,
dude. I thought about that too when I was pitching. I'm like bad CGI, Megan Fox, and I just killed myself. I probably could have got four tonight. Damn it, I fucked up. I'm sorry, I messed up. Yeah. Next time, guys, I'll win it next time. All right.
Hey, Dave, what did you watch outside the show?
All right, so I watched another Alien movie. This one was real. Well, Alienation is great too. Fire in the Sky. I watched this for the first time. I don't know. Have you guys? I'm sure somebody else has seen this movie. So it's an alien invasion movie. Guys in Arizona lose.
It's about a man that goes on vacation.
Logging town. They're on a job. They stop and see a light. Takes them, and then it's an investigation. It's a police procedural of like trying to figure out where their friend went. The reason why you should watch this is the last 15-20 minutes are some of the most terrifying moments I've ever seen of like alien invasion. Like I was like gripping the seat the whole time. Like the scenes inside the spaceship and the aliens themselves, no bad CGI. These are actual puppets or whatever. I don't know. Just the invasion scene or him in the spaceship just really creeped me out. So that's why you should watch it for if you want to see something terrifying, a terrifying alien movie.
I'm going to say one thing. I love this movie so much, but the only thing sold me on Dave was the police procedure. I felt like I have to watch this boring stuff and then get to the last 15 minutes. So I'm going to give you a half point. Just saying. There it is.
I said I like the police procedure. All right. Well,
I'm going off. I love the movie, but I'm going off what you tell me, you know? So yeah.
I give you a point. No, it's fucking.
I know. I'm just being nuts. Yeah.
I'm fond of this movie, and hearing enthusiasm again, and some excitement, and having very murky remembrance of it. I think I'd watch it again, based on what you said.
So you got a point?
Yeah.
All right, Dave's winning.
Especially
so far,
when he said no bad CGI.
That was my bad. I agree.
If you watch the movie as a documentary, it's gonna freak you out because they recently
released
the Pentagon Papers that says, "Hey, aliens are here. Deal with it." So if you go into the movie thinking like that, it's gonna be terrifying, as Dave said.
Yeah. Well, it does say based on a true story, so there's that.
Well, they discredited the guy's other book. I think it's the same guy that wrote Communion, and it's a crock of shit. But
right. I forgot. I didn't see, I didn't realize what a good cast it had in it. Like, young Robert Patrick right after Terminator 2. Like, I was like, with a mullet.
And so, he's really good in it, actually.
He really was, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot he was in it. Dave gets another point.
Ooh.
Shoot. Wow.
It's on Prime.
Whoa.
Looped ahead. Okay. Adam, what did you watch outside the show?
Well, I was fooling around on Shudder, and I found this movie called Turkey Shoot, and it's a really fun movie. A lot of my enjoyment in films is me not recognizing some big actor, and then finding a gem of things I can truly escape into without actors that I've seen in a zillion other movies, and this fits the bill. It's an old movie.
Wait, so if you come across actors you've seen in other movies, like it takes you out of the movie you're currently watching?
Sometimes, because if I feel like the actor is playing too much like stuff they've played in other movies, the familiarity is too much, and it hurts my ability to suspend my disbelief of them as a new character. For instance, like Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is Bruce Willis.
Pretty much he is now. Yeah.
Another movie, I feel like, oh, is this a Die Hard? Is he doing a Die Hard thing? You know, I don't know. Just it's hard for me to see them as a different character unless they put in the effort to be a different character. Although I don't feel the same way about, sometimes I feel the same way about Denzel Washington, but not always. Sometimes Denzel makes it into a different enough character so that I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is the character and not Denzel. He can do that sometimes, and other actors can do it every time, and some actors can't do it at all, like Steven Seagal.
So I think you're talking about bad actors, because every actor is their job to make you think that it's not them. So I think you're talking about a lot of bad actors, like Bruce Willis.
Well, I don't,
because you're right, Denzel is good.
Bruce Willis is a bad actor. Bruce Willis is a compelling human being. I don't know. I
know what you're saying.
He has played parts that are different. That was kind of unfair for me to use Bruce Willis right off the bat.
So what is the movie about?
Yeah, I don't know where we're at right now. Yeah.
Okay, the movie is Turkey Shoot. And it's a movie made in the past about the future, which is always fun. And it's about a bunch of people that end up, by one way or the other, end up having to stay in a camp so that they can become re-educated and merge back to a society that they're estranged from. So they're getting transported against their will, and as soon as they get to this place, it's like Running Man or something. They're doing terrible things to people.
Are the people the turkeys? They're the ones getting shot at?
Pretty much, yeah. They're getting abused.
Holy shit, Adam.
Abused and abused.
Dude, start there. It's a contest where people are treated like turkeys. Start there. Like, damn it.
They're turkeys.
Anyway, they got to jump through hoops, ridiculous games they're put through.
You robbed yourself of at least 2 points.
Yeah.
Why?
If you had told me and Nick that it's called Turkey Shoot and people are treated like turkeys and they get shot at in a contest, something like that, we would have been like, okay, cool.
Almost like less is more. Like, I'm like, dude, that would have been good. I agree.
Yeah.
I would have read that on box and been like, that's cool. Yeah.
I'll still give him half a point because this is one that's been on my radar.
Well, mercy point. So I'll give him one.
It's been on my radar for a while.
And I'm getting points. Okay, fine.
Mercy point from me. You got two halves from them. So you actually have 2 points.
Or two halves? Oh, okay. So he's got 2 points. Okay.
Yeah,
Dave's still in the lead.
Yeah.
Dave's still in the lead with 2.5. All right. Oh, John, it's all on you, dude.
Yeah, I guess, but karma's a bitch. Okay.
You always screw yourself when you go last. I've noticed this, John.
I know. So I watched this movie called Fury. It's a war movie. If you like war movies, you're going to love it. If you hate war movies, you're also going to love it because it goes down in the middle of the road and shows you things that why you should appreciate war movies but also hate them at the same time. It's actually based on a real sergeant. He took out like 258 enemy tanks. And if you're jonesing to replace your tank movies like Tank 89 or Tank Girl from 95 or Kelly's Heroes from 70, or even if you saw something more obscure like Bulletproof from 88, you're going to love the cast. Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, Logan Lerman, John Bernthal, who's in Punisher now, and Michael Pena doing something other than comedy. He's actually a really good dramatic actor. Fury. There you go.
Well, the high point there was mentioning Kelly's Heroes.
The reference?
Yeah.
All right.
Is that good?
I've never actually more tank movies than I thought.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't learn. I mean, I like the reference dropping.
Maybe the problem here is I'm too short and you guys are too long. I say not enough and you guys say too much.
I feel like
it might be. Yeah. I think we're all like We all need to find that middle ground. It's tough, yeah. I'd give you a half, John, because I do like Tank.
It would be unfair of me to give you anything if I got turned off by negative CGI with Nick's movie. So
yeah,
Rogue.
I get it.
It makes me want to watch Rogue and give Nick more of a point.
Oh, wait, can we go back? See, no, we can't go back. Yeah, there you go.
See, you would have gotten me if you told us that Shia LaBeouf actually took out his tooth for no other reason, just because he's a character actor for this movie.
Wait, he has a removable tooth?
Well, no, he went to a dentist to have a tooth removed just for this movie that you hardly see.
Are you kidding? That's crazy.
No. The new movie Tax Collector, he got a full back body tattoo, and you hardly see it in the movie.
Oh my god!
What an idiot! Sorry, that's like terrible.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I got to see that movie. I'll give John a point. I got to rewatch that.
All right. So you okay? We got you. Gave him.
Wait, did the dentist save his organic tooth, or did he get an implant after he destroyed his own tooth?
He probably got an. It's probably better to get an implant.
I don't know.
Are you out on Fury, or are you going to watch Fury?
That's Adam's the only one who's we got.
No, it doesn't sound interesting to me. I like the references though, all except for.
So that's a zero for Adam. Okay. All right. Well, there we go.
My genre, really.
I lost, guys, with 1 point. John, you have 1.5 points. Adam has 2, and Dave won with 2.5. There it is.
I won one once.
You finally won. There you go.
Fire in the sky, man.
I got to stop bringing dramas.
It is a good one. It's like, yeah. It is like me bringing men at work. You kind of go like, yeah, that'll win. Yeah.
Actually, now it's a game. There's a lot of pressure to find a good movie that can win.
It is kind of tough, yeah.
Rather than just bringing up, hey, by the way, I saw this movie about a shark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like you guys really enjoy the movie that fumbled describing.
What day?
Well, sometimes it's hard. Like I told John that like I watched a bunch of movies this week and none of them were worth talking about. Like so I was like, what do you bring when you have nothing worth talking about?
Or it's like you really do think it's a good movie. Like Rogue I actually thought was good, but the CGI I'm just like, god damn, it took me out. But at the same point, you saw everything else being good and you're like, why didn't they just give it 2 or 3 more million on a better effects company, you know?
Yeah, why didn't they have an actual tiger attacking people?
Well, that too, yeah. Give me some actual prosthetic or Stan Winston effects company, you know?
They haven't done that since there was a movie. Who was in that movie a long time ago where they had the real tigers? And they...
Oh, that was on Melanie Griffin?
Yeah.
Where her... Oh, dude, that is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Roar. Oh, yeah. God, I love that movie.
That might be lions, maybe not tigers. Maybe that was actually lions. But...
No, it was a bunch of different cats. Like, I would die to cover that movie. I love that movie so much. It's so nuts. Dude, the story behind it.
Lived on that freaking place. Like, she actually was.
Dude.
Yeah.
Jan de Bont basically got scalped and then came back and finished shooting the movie.
I'd be like, I'm over this shit, guys. Yeah.
Wow.
Totally. It's crazy. It's one of the most
crazy movies. What year did that come out? Roundabout.
80-something?
It came out like 80?
It took a few years to film.
Yeah, it took like 2 or 3 years to shoot because they kept having to stop and start because people get attacked. And like,
but where were they living with these cats in Africa on their property or something, right?
No, this was in like, not Glendale, but like somewhere in the valley or the outskirts. This was in Hollywood-ish. It was like Tippi Hedren had a big cat community because she was an activist for cats or, you know, like big game cats. So, and they shot a family movie and there's like real blood in a family movie. Like it's weird.
Oh, it's a weird. Yeah.
Wow. Gotta love the 80s.
You do.
Cocaine.
What's worth watching next week? What are we going to cover next week?
Oh, well, next week, guys, let me tell you. But first, don't forget to visit our social media, drop us an email, or reach out with a movie review request. But next week, tune in, because we're going back in the day to Night of the Creeps. I'm excited about this one. I love this movie.
Yes.
I don't even want to. I don't know. I'm already foreshadowing how much I love this movie.
This is like Blob level. Like, I'm excited.
Yes, I am too. I haven't seen this movie in 6 years, so I'm actually really excited.
Does it come before or after Day of the Creeps?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe.
It was just after Dawn.
Dawn of the Creeps.
Wow. Dawn of the Night of the Creeps.
It was a trilogy. That'd be great.
I wish they would have done it. Fred, what is it? Fred Durker?
Decker.
Decker directed it? Yeah. It's good stuff. Monster Squad. So very you're in cool. good hands. Anyways, this is Nikki T saying lights.
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 Lights. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.